You're listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. This week, YKHC's tobacco prevention and cessation.
Good morning, YK Delta, and welcome to the Wellness Wednesday radio show. My name is Victoria Galanopoulos, and I'm the Tobacco Prevention and Cessation Program Coordinator at YKHC. Co-hosting the show is Emery Johnson from the Diabetes Prevention Program here at YKHC as well. Thank you, Emery, for co-hosting and co-producing today's show. Would you tell our listeners a little bit about your role and today's topic?
Hey, yes, good morning. My name is Emery here at YKHC. I'm an outreach specialist under the Diabetes and Prevention Control Department. Today's topic for the show is oral health. Oral health is very important to our overall health and essential to several daily functions. Taking care of our teeth and gums will help us live a healthier life, and I'm excited to be on today's show and share what we have learned.
I think many of us have heard at some point in our lives that if we don't practice good oral hygiene, such as brushing our teeth or flossing, or if we use tobacco, or even foods high in sugar, we run the risk of tooth loss and decay. But is this really true, and is there anything we can do about it? To help us break this down and answer those questions, we've invited Dr. Sean Davis to be our guest and discuss oral health in the YK Delta.
Waka! Thanks for inviting me onto the show. I'm very excited to be here. Dr. Sean Davis, I'm the one with the blue hair. If you're walking around the clinic, it's pretty easy to find me in town or in the city. I've been here in Bethel for almost 5 years now. I used to run a private practice in Colorado, but Victoria Hardwick actually invited me up to the Delta to check things out. And I have a previous connection to the Delta. My sister-in-law is an Alaskan native from Aniak. She was always telling me stories about the subsistence lifestyle that people are living up here and the way things are in the villages. And I took Dr. Hardwick's invitation and I flew up here and I was blown away. Lifestyle up here is just so vastly different from the things that I had been experiencing.
Wow. Thank you, Dr. Davis. It's nice to learn about your background and hear the connections that you have with the YK Delta. So our first set of questions I have for you are related to tobacco use and oral health. As a tobacco treatment specialist, this topic's particularly interesting to me, and this is the reason why. When we enroll patients into our tobacco cessation program, we always ask them, what are their reasons or personal reasons and motivators for wanting to stop tobacco use? And each person has their own personal reasons, but oftentimes they're common and shared by a number of other people that are quitting tobacco. So many of those common responses include, you know, saving money, wanting to lower their blood pressure, they're interested in improving their cardiovascular health and improving their lung health. But sometimes they also report wanting to be a role model in the community or for family members. And really just oftentimes they tell us that they're really just tired of the addiction of tobacco and they want to be free from that addiction. But then also we hear them reporting that they want to stop tobacco because of dental pain and decay caused by tobacco use. So let's hear the facts from our dental expert, Dr. Davis. Dr. Davis, here's your first question. Is it true that smoking could lead to dental problems? And if so, what are those problems?
Smoking can be a major contributor to dental problems. So smoking does a number of things that are damaging to our health, our whole body health. And the oral cavity is no exception to that. Smoking introduces a lot of inflammatory agents into your mouth and into your body. And inflammation, as we all know, is a full system effect that we're constantly trying to reduce, constantly trying to fight. The heat and the chemicals from smoking cigarettes can substantially reduce your salivary flow, and you need your saliva. The saliva is so important. It's one of your first lines of defense. It helps wash away bits of food and sugar that get stuck in your mouth. It also has enzymes in it to break down some of those bacteria, those dangerous ones that can be the cause of decay. Additionally, tobacco and smoking and ICMIC are major contributors to periodontal disease. All of these tobacco products can reduce the amount of blood flow to your gingiva, And blood is so important because your blood is full of all the nutrition and oxygen that your cells need. And if you're not able to carry those up to your gums, then they start to experience much more acute attack from gingivitis and periodontitis. And these are two things that can ultimately lead to substantial pain and tooth loss.
Well, and you did also mention ICMIC. So that's, I wanted to ask, what about like pipe smoking or cigars or even electronic cigarettes? I know we're learning every day new things about electronic cigarettes and how they're affecting our health. But, you know, what about those different other types of tobacco and even smokeless tobacco, such as ICMIC?
Yeah, all tobacco, even smokeless tobacco, and even electronic tobacco. The main ingredient that people are addicted to in these things is the nicotine. Nicotine is one of these vasoconstrictors, which shuts down your blood vessels. And so no matter what way you're taking in any sort of nicotine, you're going to have those same effects. But additionally, something that's important to keep in mind about smokeless tobacco, especially ICMIC, is that there's a lot of very rough pieces in it, very coarse little bits that particularly come from the ash, the punk ash that's used in the mixing of the ICMIC. It's very, very abrasive. And so the abrasion from that can cause teeth to wear down much more quickly. It can also cause irritation to the gums, leading to more gum disease and periodontitis. So smokeless tobacco products are not safe. In fact, an additional concern is as you put them down into your gingiva and into your gums and soft tissue down there, they cause small cuts. These small cuts increase your likelihood of contracting some sort of HPV, human papilloma virus. And more studies are coming out indicating that this HPV is a major contributor to oral and pharyngeal cancer. And so anything that you can do to reduce your risk of getting cancer is certainly something that as a medical dental provider, I'm a big proponent of. And I'll take another minute, just if I might, to go off topic. It's incredibly difficult to quit any sort of nicotine because it's an addictive chemical. It's one of the most addictive chemicals that is known to medicine at this point. And I can speak from personal experience because before I was a dentist, I used to smoke. And I know how very, very difficult it was. And I talk with my patients about this all the time. And I'll tell them, you know, it took me maybe 5,000 attempts to quit smoking. Because every time I would have a cigarette, I'd say, well, this is my last one. Or maybe after this one, I can quit. Or, well, maybe not tonight, but tomorrow, I'm definitely going to quit. And it took me maybe a good 6 to 8 months to quit. And it was just this process of continually convicting myself to do it, of continually reaffirming those goals that I had, which are the same as some of the ones that you've mentioned, Victoria, especially being a role model. I knew that if I wanted to be a role model for good oral health for my patients, then I would have to find a way to kick this habit. And it was hard. And I know that it's hard. And I know that a lot of our listeners are working at it. A lot of them want to quit. And I just want to let them know that you can do it. You can definitely do it. Keep trying. Don't give up.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Davis. I think it's great when we can get a personal story connected to this, especially a success story. So thank you so much for sharing that information with us.
Why might the same bacteria found in plaque be more harmful to someone with diabetes compared to someone without diabetes?
Just like we talked about in tobacco, diabetes, especially diabetes mellitus, is a chronic inflammatory disease. Patients that suffer from diabetes have a low-grade inflammation all the time, and that inflammation can be increased whenever they have poorly controlled blood sugar. Diabetes causes people to heal less quickly. It impacts their ability to regenerate their body, and when there's a bacterial attack, a person with diabetes with this pre-existing inflammation and with this reduced immune response is going to be more susceptible to this same bacteria that's found in everybody's mouths it's going to have a much more substantial impact to those of our patients that are suffering from diabetes or living with diabetes.
Thank you. And I do speak with patients who, when I offer them a dental visit or encourage a dental visit, they refuse to go to the dentist because, like, ah, I don't have any teeth. I've got some dentures here. Why would it be so important to make a visit to the dentist?
You know, as dentists, we are complete oral health specialists. And it's not just a matter of taking care of teeth, but we want to also do what we can to contribute to the whole body connection, even without teeth. It's very important for us to be able to help you maintain your dentures, for us to be able to do oral cancer screenings with regularity. It's important for us to be able to monitor patients' dentures. So without teeth, the bones that support your dentures have a tendency to resorb a little bit and change shape over time. Your dentures may become more poorly fitting. You may start to get irritation on them. It may become harder for you to eat. And we want to promote people being able to eat healthful foods. And it's much easier to eat a native diet if you've got well-fitting dentures. Now, of course, if we can keep your teeth, then I would certainly love to do that. But once we're in dentures, it's important for us to be able to keep you eating what you want and all of the foods that are going to help support your health. And so if you can try to make your way into the dentist, we'll do a good job of keeping your dentures working well for you. We'll keep good screening for your oral health, and we'll be able to talk with you about diet and other ways that we can keep your whole body healthy, starting with what goes into the mouth.
Thank you. And I know you spoke a little bit about this a while ago about gingivitis and periodontitis. Can you tell me a little bit more about what the signs and symptoms of those are?
Yeah. So periodontitis and gingivitis are related. They are inflammation in your gums and in the tissues that surround your teeth or dental implants even. Gingivitis can first be seen with kind of red, puffy gums in between your teeth. They look a little swollen and they're very quick to bleed. Sometimes people will tell me that their teeth or their gums bleed when they brush their teeth. Most of the time, this is a clear sign of gingivitis. It's those gums being so inflamed that just the slightest touch on them can cause them to bleed a little bit. And this is substantially worsened in a patient that's living with diabetes. When we're living with diabetes, we tend to bleed more easily, we tend to heal more slowly, and we're more susceptible to infections. So our patients that are living with diabetes should be particularly aware of their gums because it's going to be a good indicator of their overall health. As gum disease, gingivitis progresses to periodontitis, what you can see is sometimes the teeth start to look longer, or you'll see little black triangles where your gums used to be. This is because of the inflammation in the area causing the bones to actually resorb. So when your bones notice that there's an infection, they want to get away from them. Bones don't like infection. They don't work well with them. So they slowly start to move away from the teeth. This can cause teeth to get wiggly, can cause tooth loss, and cause a lot of sensitivity and pain. But something else that's very important is that when you have this gum disease and you're bleeding and you have these open areas where the bacteria and plaque that's in your mouth can now interact with the things that are in your blood, there have been many studies showing that periodontitis and gingivitis gum disease are related to diabetes. Yeah. So managing your oral health can help you manage your diabetes. They've found the bacteria that are in plaque in your mouth can get into your heart, get into your blood, and there's strong connections between oral health, diabetes, and heart disease. And so if we're able to take care of our teeth very well at home, that's going to be a strong way for you to help control your diabetes and help your overall whole body wellness.
And thank you. And then how often should one, you know, with or without diabetes, with or without teeth, how often should we make a visit to the dentist?
We'd like to see all of our patients at least once a year for an exam. Patients that are living with diabetes, we would like to try to see you a little bit more often. often if we can, because we want to do the things that we can to help promote your overall health. It's important to be able to monitor people's teeth and people's soft tissue, their gums and their gingiva and all the mucosa, all the soft parts inside your mouth. Having a dentist do a quick check on those annually will actually help you to keep your teeth very healthy. It will reduce the number of cavities that you have. It will reduce the pain that you have. And then when you come to the dentist, you can just get your teeth brushed and even a sticker. I don't care if you're 2 or you're 200 years old. You get a sticker if you come and see me. That's a good way to promote people's oral health, I think. Oh, you can also come in if you need a new toothbrush. We have so many toothbrushes. How can I bribe you to come in and see the dentist?
Oh, that was great, Dr. Davis. I like the invitation to come visit you. Free toothbrushes, stickers, it sounds great to me. So I know that so far we've talked about how tobacco and diabetes can affect oral health. The next set of questions that I'd like to discuss with you are related to protective factors in oral health. So for example, I've heard from elders that many years ago, tooth loss, cavities, and disease was not as prevalent as it is today. So what do you think are some of the reasons why? Is this due, has the diet changed, or what are your thoughts on that?
The diet today is a far departure from what the diet was in times past. So whenever I talk with elders about this, it's a topic that they're particularly passionate about because they see the pain that the generations today are in, and they see the decay and the needs that weren't there previously. One of the things that has changed is sugar. The traditional UPIC diet doesn't include sugar, doesn't include what the dentists like to call fermentable carbohydrates. What this is anything that has sweet sugar in it, or even anything that has flour or other carbohydrates in it, those carbohydrates get consumed by the bacteria in your mouth. And when they eat the leftover little bits of bread or cake or pop that coat your teeth, they produce acid. And the acid melts your teeth. That's what causes a cavity, is acid slowly eroding a hole into your teeth. Traditional UPIC diet does not include fermentable carbohydrates. Very little can come from berries, but meats and greens harvested from the tundra cannot cause cavities. I had a patient one time in Akiak. She was 70 years old, and I saw her teeth. I was new to the Delta, and I was concerned because just talking to her, I saw that her teeth were black. And I thought, oh no, there's going to be so much decay. I'm really worried about this old lady. She must be in so much pain. I hope that I can help her. But then as I started to look around, I found that she had no decay. And I said, what's going on? Why are your teeth so black? And she said, well, I like the ICMIC. Yeah. How much are you ICMIC? And she's like, oh, all day long. I even put some in before I go to bed. She was suffering from gum disease because of this, but I couldn't find any cavities. And so I started talking to her about her diet. She said that she didn't like juice. She didn't like pop. She didn't like cookies. She liked a traditional UPIC diet. She was eating a lot of meats, fresh and dried. She was eating berries, and that was pretty much it. In her entire life, she told me that she brushed her teeth one time. She didn't like it because it tickled. And I said, well, I would love to encourage you to brush your teeth, but because you've been so strongly adhering to this traditional UPIC diet, you are not suffering from any of the cavities that we see in so many of our population right now. And moreover, I think it's really important that we focus on reducing all of the sugars that we're giving to our kids, because yes, it can contribute to diabetes. And yes, it can contribute to problems with oral health. We send almost 100% of our kids to the operating room to have their teeth worked on, because their teeth have gotten so sick from exposure to all of this sugar that the only way for us to manage them and to manage their oral health is by sending them to the hospital, putting them to sleep, having a machine breathe for them so that we can clean out these infections. So I implore all of my parents out there, please try only water and only milk, and no milk at bedtime. Just water at bedtime. Help your kids brushing your teeth. you need to have an adult brushing their teeth until they're at least 6 years old, and maybe even longer. But try to bring them into the dentist and try to make healthy choices for them. One thing that I like to say to help people remember, you know, that juice is not good for kids, pop is not good for kids, is that there's an easy sort of metric. As an oral care professional, I would prefer that people didn't have any juice, any pop. But I know that that can be a big ask. So I tell them, think of it like birthday cake. You wouldn't give your kids birthday cake every day. You wouldn't even give it to them every week. Maybe once a month for a very special occasion. Other than that, you're doing substantial harm and you're putting your kids' health at risk, on your own health too. It doesn't just go for children. It runs the entire age gamut. Every time you consume one of these things, you are substantially contributing to a lot of risk factors that could be damaging your overall and your oral.
Okay, that's great. So eat more proteins, more berries, and less refined sugars. That's kind of the take home there. But what about fluoride? So I've done some reading about where some communities will add fluoride to the water, to the drinking water. And I guess my question is a little bit two part. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are about adding fluoride to drinking water in the communities. Do any of our communities have that? And what about fluoride treatments? So even if it's not in the water, do you recommend that your patients get fluoride treatments when they visit you?
Fluoride is a safe and effective way to help reduce cavities. So fluoride makes it so that your teeth are much stronger when they get attacked by acid. They don't dissolve as easily. I said earlier that I come from Colorado. Colorado is actually where they identified the positive benefits of fluoride. There were miners that went out for the gold rush, and their kids wouldn't get any cavities, and they couldn't figure out why. After they did a little research, they found out that there's naturally occurring fluoride in the water in some parts of America and all over the world. And people who live in these places don't suffer from as much tooth decay. But not everybody has naturally occurring fluoride in their water. So we try to add small amounts to the drinking water in order to help add this protective effect to people's lives. But most of our communities don't have fluoride. It's very difficult to get your water system set up to add fluoride in it. Not because of the difficulty of adding fluoride, but because of regulations. YKHC is currently working with ANMC to help find ways for us to add this easy and safe product to people's drinking water to help support their health. But if you can't get it, then come in and see the dentist. We have a medical grade fluoride that we can apply to your teeth. It only requires a short amount of time and it usually tastes pretty good. It does feel a little sticky, but it will help you take good care of your teeth, safe and effective.
Okay, thank you. And along those lines, what can you tell me about tooth sealants? Is this something that you recommend? If you do, when would you recommend this for your patients?
Tooth sealants are great. They prevent food from getting stuck into the little grooves and pits and fissures on the biting parts of your teeth. And if you can prevent food from getting stuck in there, you won't be feeding those bacteria as much. I think that they're very important, especially for our youth. Right around 6 years old, kids start to get their first adult molars. They come in the back and they're very hard to clean. Six-year-olds are given their first adult teeth and we'd like them to be healthy until they're 100 years old. But if you can bring them into the dentist so that we can apply a simple sealant, it will help them take care of their teeth. Sealants are very easy to put on. Pretty much every six-year-old that I meet does very, very well putting it on. We brush their teeth, we squirt on a little bit of this protective armor that just goes on the outside of the tooth. It doesn't have to be any numbing. It doesn't have to be any drilling. Kids tend to do very well with it. And once they get them, it helps them prevent cavities, helps their teeth last.
Thank you, Dr. Davis, for being on our show today and sharing your expert knowledge with us and our listeners. It really has been a pleasure having you on the show.
I just wanted to thank you, Victoria and Emery, for having me on the show today. I really appreciate the opportunity to interact with the community and try to do what I can to support everybody's overall and oral health. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you. Yes, it's been lots of fun. Thank you so much. So before closing our show, we have a few resources and relevant community announcements we want to share with our listeners. The YKHC Tobacco Cessation Program has teamed up with YKHC's Diabetes Prevention Program, Campfire, and Bethel 4-H Program to offer youth a Strong Lungs event on Monday and Tuesday, April 19th and 20th, 3:30, starting promptly at 3:30, going until 5, and will be at the 4-H Center. The activities include an actual pig lung demonstration, frisbee challenge, obstacle courses, a lung capacity test, and lots of crafts. So this event is free to the public, but space is limited due to the pandemic social gathering restrictions and guidelines. If you're interested and would like to attend, please reserve your space by emailing the 4-H program at uaf-bethel@alaska.edu. That's uaf-bethel@alaska.edu. Or you can also call the YKHC's Tobacco Prevention Program at 543-6312. I also want to invite our listeners to contact the YKHC Tobacco Cessation Program if you or someone you know wants to stop tobacco use. Our program combines counseling and medications approved to treat nicotine dependence. We are currently enrolling patients over the phone due to the pandemic. So if you're interested, you can simply call us at 543-6312 or call the YKHC Main Hospital and ask to be transferred to the Tobacco Prevention Program. Lastly, YKHC's Tobacco Cessation Program is recruiting for an outreach specialist and tobacco treatment specialist. If you're interested and would like to do something like conduct or co-produce these Wellness Wednesday radio shows, please apply online at the YKHC employment page or call 543-6312.
Thank you all for participating in KYUK's Wellness Wednesday with the contribution from YKHC's Tobacco Prevention and Cessation Program, as well as the Diabetes Prevention and Control Department. If you'd like to discuss further about the importance of oral health or diabetes, you may contact one of our educators at 907-543-6133 to schedule your telehealth appointment. Enjoy the sun and stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Catch us every Wednesday at 10 a.m. right here on KYUK.